Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Don't sweat the technique.
Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
If you love getting great deals and eating at even better restaurants, we have great news for you. Houston Restaurant Week has been extended through September 30th. ESPN 97.5, proud partner for Houston Restaurant Week since 2024. And it's time to raise some money for the Houston Food Bank for you. Just dine out and do good. Choose from over 400 restaurants to visit for lunch or dinner. Select from their prefix menus, and a portion of the proceeds goes to the Houston Food Bank. Plus, you're supporting local restaurants. Go to HoustonRestaurantWeeks.com to find all the participating restaurants. Do we have a center field debate again for the Astros? And a couple of things here. This is probably more of a big picture conversation because, like, today's lineup, there's a lefty pitching, so both Jake Meyers and Chaz McCormick are playing. Jake's playing center. Chaz McCormick is playing right field. Jordan's in left.
He's got a cannon.
So, I mean, right now with no Kyle Tucker playing right field against lefties, they're more than likely going to both be in the lineup. Now, against righties, probably not. You got to make a decision of which of the two you want to play. If Kyle Tucker plays right field again, well, now that conversation also extends into left-handed pitching, more than likely, unless you played one of them left field and then you DH Jordan. It just kind of depends. But if you're in a situation where you're Joe Espada and you're filling out your lineup card and you're deciding, final decision that you have to make, Jake Meyers in center field or Chaz McCormick in center field. Do we have that debate again, and what would your answer be?
I think we do. I think, but again, that's kind of the beauty and the kind of possibilities that you're not going to be pleased that we have enough games left in the regular season where this, we talk about the pitchers, like the big start for Eric Geddy and how he's got to prove himself again. What are we going to see if Verlander starts again and how he's got to prove himself? I think both of these guys have to prove that they could earn the starting job in the playoffs the rest of the season. We know how just atrocious Chaz was the entire season, but whether it was the trip to Sugar Land or not, he's come back up. He's gotten some knocks. He looks like he's gotten a little bit more confidence back because he's not carrying the world on his shoulders. And we know he can play decent defense. Now, Jake's defense is better, but Jake's offense has gone right in the crapper. So I think that you have to let it play out for a little bit here. And I think it's a legitimate conversation. I think before it was pretty cut and dried because Jake was hitting the baseball decently enough. You're like, look, I'll take a decent offensive player that's a better defensive player, and coupled with the fact that Chaz was just in no man's land, that it was an easy discussion and it was Jake all the way. Now I believe that it's open. It's on the table. It's up for discussion. And I think these guys in the next couple weeks, someone's got to step up and prove that they can grab the bull by the horns and take the job.
I'm glad you said horns. Chaz has a 66 OPS plus. Jake has an 88 OPS plus. That's the full body of work. Defensively, I don't think that Chaz is a slouch defensively in center. I think Chaz is a good defensive center fielder. I don't think he's as good as Jake.
Right.
Jake's borderline great. I would say that Chaz is really good. So Jake does give you more defense in center field. They both have noodles for arms. They're pretty comparable when it comes to their arms. Chaz, like if you just eliminate the numbers for a second, which of those two do you think has more offensive upside?
Chaz.
I would agree. I would agree completely. Mm-hmm. I mean, Chaz has kind of done it in the big. Chaz before this year has been a plus offensive player in each of the last three seasons. Last year probably will be his career year, had a 130 OPS plus. He had 22 home runs last year in 115 games. Chaz has more offensive upside. Jake Meyers had a really hot May. If you pull the numbers since June 1st, Chaz is a better offensive player than Jake
Meyers.
That's scary. Because Chaz has been awful. Yep. Like, Chaz has had a disastrous season. But even with Chaz being a disaster, if you eliminate the first 2 months of the year and you go June 1st on, Jake Meyers is hitting 194. Jake Meyers is a .256 on base. His slugging is .313. He's done that in 306 plate appearances. So that's a large sample. That is awful. That is a .569 OPS since June 1. Chaz McCormick's hitting .216. That's better than Jake Meyers' .194. His on base is .265, better than Jake Meyers' .256. His slugging is .346, better than Jake Meyers' .313. Chaz McCormick, even though he's been terrible this season, has been better offensively than Jake Meyers since June 1st. And Chaz McCormick, six games since he's returned from Sugar Land, let's not forget he homered in his final at-bat before being sent to Sugar Land, 23 plate appearances. Way too small of a sample. But he's hitting .409. So Chaz, because he has more offensive upside, Chaz, because he's actually been a better offensive player since June 1st, Chaz, because he's showing life again offensively, Chaz McCormick would be my center fielder over Jake Meyers, at least until this little mini hot streak has expired for Chaz McCormick.
Yeah, I think it, as much as I despise the term that they love to use, this is about back of the baseball card, too, and the fact that he's on the uptick. Jake is
on the back of his baseball card.
And the fact of the matter is that Chaz has been there and done it when he's been there in the biggest, brightest stage that you play on in the playoffs, when he did it defensively, when he could still hit the baseball, when he looked like he was the guy that, you know, Philly fans are still talking about. He doesn't have to be that to that level, but he's on the uptick as well. That's why I would lean Chaz. And that's why I'm saying it's so important if Jake's going to make a stand to say that he wants the position, he damn well better start earning it in the final 19 games of the season.
And this goes back to the earn the burn thing. Like, they've both been bad offensively. And if, like, you don't want to sit here and have the conversation of, like, a .216 hitter and a .194 hitter, I get it. If you want to say, well, they're both offensively bad, play the better defensive guy, I get that too. But Chaz isn't a huge drop-off defensively. I think it goes back to the earn the burn thing. Yeah. Because Chaz McCormick has shown life, he has shown a pulse again, he has more offensive upside, he had a good year last year, and because Jake Meyers has been an offensive disaster since June 1, to me it's Chaz McCormick. To me it's Chaz.
Yeah, if it's just apples to apples and you're just taking guys that have both been mediocre and saying, which guy am I going to play? I'm playing the guy that's been hotter lately. I'm playing the guy that has the experience of being, that's had success in the playoffs. I'm playing the guy that looks like he's starting to show signs of snapping out of it, and he's done it previously to know it's not fluky. If he's snapping out of it, there's a chance he could become the player that he once was. With Jake, he's kind of been offensively what we've always seen him to be. Yes, he had the hot May, but overall, Jake's not known as an offensive player like he is a defensive specialist in center field. If it's apples to apples, then I am going to earn the burn, and I'm going to tell you that I believe in Chaz McCormick over the long haul as being a guy that I would trust more offensively than Jake Meyers, therefore I'm going to lean the Chaz's way.
And I hope that this is a discussion because Kyle Tucker's playing right field.
For sure.
Because if Kyle Tucker can't play right field, well, now you're probably playing both guys. And I don't want both guys in the lineup. I want one guy in the lineup. And I don't really care who it is. I would allow Chaz to play out the heater. I think that you have to allow that because he is starting to heat up a little bit. I don't even know if it's a heater. He's just shown life. Let's just call it that. And Jake Meyers has not shown life. So give me Chaz over that.
And I think that with the guys that they brought in, I think as good as Gamble has been, Gamble's not a center fielder. Gamble might be your guy that you use instead of one of those guys in right field if down the stretch. But I think that overall, Jason Hayward was a guy that maybe could have been considered in the center field discussion. I just don't think he's been anything offensively to where you can think that he's going to be any better than the other two guys, no matter where you put him. So I think that he's out of the discussion.
Yeah, 50-12 Dubon, Gamble, Hayward. I don't think the Gamble or Hayward are center fielders.
Nope.
Like, Hayward can play there in an emergency. He's not a guy that you want in center field. Quite frankly, I don't want Dubon in center. I think Dubon's not a very good defensive center fielder.
Center fielder, no. I think in left field, obviously shown some plays where he's pretty good at throwing and covering ground, and everybody will remember the play in left field where he ran into the wall. But I think that he can play the corner outfield. I know we always would joke about the personal center fielder of Justin Verlander. Verlander might be out there at all either, but I don't want Dubon in center field.
And if you have to play like the defensive guy behind the fly ball pitchers, okay, well, Chaz starts with Fromber and Hunter Brown, who are a couple of ground ball guys. King of Twitch, you see Bryce Matthews got bumped up to Triple A. Time for him to come up and see. I did see that. Apparently, they want him to be up on the spacers during their playoff series. Now, I wonder what his ETA is.
It ain't this year.
No, for sure not.
Yeah.
But is it opening day next year?
I think he'll be in the discussion.
Is he your starting third baseman next year?
I think it'll be in the discussion. I think not that it's going to be is similar to Pena, but I think that when they look at their options, that's why they want him in Sugar Land. They want to see, you know, as quickly as his meteoric rise through the organization has been, if he continues to do the same kind of things in AAA, then I think he's going to get a look in spring training as being a possibility.
I think there's a chance he's in the dugout in the postseason, like Pena was in 21. Now, he wasn't on the roster. He wasn't playing, but he was just learning.
Yankees did it with Jeter, too.
And then Correa left, and then Pena took over. Like, yep. I think you might see that. I think Matthews could be in the playoff dugout should the Astros get there. And then I think his earliest ETA is opening day next year.
I agree. He would be in the mix.
I wouldn't bet on that, though, but I do think it's in play.
Yeah, I think if Bregman gets away, that they'll look in a free agency to find another third baseman and or internal candidates that you already have. You have DeCenzo and Whitcomb and guys like that, but he will definitely get a look.
Yeah, I think they would go veteran and then like let one of those three guys battle it out to see who makes the major league roster and then battle it out with that veteran. Uncle Barney texting in, the reason Chaz has been given chance after chance this year is because the Astros know that Chaz has much greater offensive potential than Jake. I would agree with that. I would also see the injuries. Like, if Kyle Tucker didn't get hurt, maybe we don't see Chaz get chance after chance. If Yordan Alvarez wasn't a guy that, you know, you had DH most days, Chaz probably doesn't get a chance. So it's been struggles and it's been injuries. And yes, Chaz's offensive upside greater than Myers.
Yeah, for sure. I agree with Uncle Barney on that.
He's a smart man.
Yeah,
runs in the family.
But I think that when you look at the what we talked about to start the season, I was thinking about putting Chaz as my everyday center fielder anyway at that point. I didn't know he was going to be this awful all season long. But if you would go under the premise that Yordan's in left, Tucker's in right, I don't mind Chaz McCormick playing center field.
No, I don't either. I think we're on the same page there. Like, let him play. Like, let him have the runway to see if this little, you know, pulse can lead to a heater. And then it could lead to him being back. Let's find out.
Yeah, let's find out.
And like Jake Myers hasn't done enough offensively for us not to find out. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. I didn't realize something about the playoff race and the Astros' involvement in it. I wonder if you guys realized it. 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
It's that time of year again. We want to thank our loyal listeners at our 24 Listener Appreciation Party. Join the team for ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 for an evening of food for Philly Flats, BB's Tex Orleans, JBRM Lanes, and Halal Guys. Drinks will be provided from Tejas Beer and Space City Vodka. There'll also be a raffle where you can win a great prize from Republic Boot Company, but that's not it. The 2022 Baseball Championship Trophy that was won by the Local 9 will also be at the listener party. You'll be able to get your picture with that trophy. Caller number 5 right now to 713-780-3776 wins a pair of tickets to the listener party. You'll get a behind-the-scenes look at where and how your favorite shows and videos are made, so where the Killer Bee shows are produced. And we're only giving away a certain amount of tickets, and you will need one to come to the party. So if you don't win now, you can still head to ESPN975.com under the promotions tab to secure your tickets now. Caller 5, 713-780-3776. You win a pair of tickets to the ESPN 97.5 listener party. Alex on Twitch, he might be trolling. I hope he's trolling. Hashtag pay the man. Bregman, 7 years, $210 million.
Nope.
Way too long. AAV, probably okay. $30 million a year?
Yeah, that's fine.
Probably all right.
Just, they ain't doing 7 years.
No. 80-89, Cody Bellinger next year for center field. That ain't happening.
They ain't paying him that much money.
I wonder if Bryce Matthews is an option in center field.
He's a good athlete, but don't they want him to be an infielder of the future on the left side?
But if you sign Bregman to a 4-year deal, that's not happening.
Right, but I have my doubts they're going to sign Bregman.
No, I don't think so either. But if they do, and Bryce Matthews is forcing his way to be in the starting lineup opening day 2025.
If you gotta find a home for his bat, then give him a shot.
Yeah, I think that it's not likely, but possible. I would say it's possible.
Yeah.
And it would take some things to happen. You know, it would take Alex Bregman extending his stay in Houston. It would take Bryce Matthews forcing the Astros to find a spot for him because they need to get him in the lineup. A long shot, But it is something that I'm kind of curious to see if, you know, they re-sign Bregman, if that's something that they would think about doing. Because, I mean, you re-sign Bregman 3 to 4 years. Well, third base is locked up for 3 to 4 years. Pena is in his third year, so he still has three years left of club control. If Matthews is going to be ready before that, which he should be, he's already going to be in AAA, you have to find a home for him.
Well, so then my question was then going to become, do you think that they would explore an external candidate in center field? Or would, do you think that they would be looking for, whether it be Leon gets a legit shot in center field?
I don't think Leon's a major league starter.
See, his bat disappointed me greatly when he came up.
Yeah, I don't think he's a major league starter.
I just think, do you think that, do you think they'd spend the money to look in free agency for a center fielder?
I don't. I think they would ride with Myers, Chaz, and then if Matthews was playing out there, maybe. I don't think they would sign a center fielder.
I could see them groom him, give him some chances in Sugarland to see kind of the way we were talking about if Yiner had gotten more reps at first base, or when we were in the Joey Loperfido conversations about getting reps.
Yeah.
I could see if he shows offensively he's ripping it in AAA too, and you don't have another spot for him, then I think that I could see him getting reps in Sugarland in center field.
I think they would have a battle for center field before they sign one. Because, I mean, Jake Myers plays a good center field. Like, you can get by with a low bat that plays really good defense. And then you're hopeful that Chaz can figure it out.
I think, and that's the thing, too. I think you have viable options that are average.
And
defensively are actually better than average. So that if you've got so much offense everywhere else, you can live with those two guys in a platoon situation in center field. I don't think you can live with one who was expected to be a corner outfielder and another that's just never going to be there offensively.
I kind of think it's going to be a quiet offseason for the Astros. I think they'll look to re-sign Bregman on a deal to their liking. If that doesn't happen, they'll move on. Maybe they sign a middle of the market free agent at third base. And I think they look to sign one starting pitcher. I think they're going to look to sign Kikuchi.
I think they'd like to. I think he.
I think
the bigger conversation is going to be, is he chasing the dollars?
Yeah, I think he'll price himself out. I think they want him back. I think he'll price. I think it'll go both ways with their top two free agent targets. I think they want Bregman back. I think he's going to be too expensive. They say see you later. I think they're going to want Kikuchi back. He's going to be too expensive. He'll say see you later.
I think if they retain Bregman, Kikuchi's gone. I think if they don't retain Bregman, there's a chance Kikuchi's here.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, more money to spend. Keith, is Bregman or Kikuchi more likely to resign? That's a good question.
I see, the thing that's interesting about Kikuchi is everybody's talking about how much he loves it here.
Yeah.
And so you wonder, because I think he made a boatload playing elsewhere before he came to the major leagues, to where I wonder, that's why I asked, how much of the money is he chasing? Or this is his best success rate and his best organization since he's been in baseball. If he wants to stay here, and there's truth to that, how much of a discount is he willing to give him?
I'll lean Bregman over Kikuchi.
You think because of the way he's played lately, too, that they're going to do something?
Well, I think Crane likes the legacy guys.
I agree.
And Bregman's kind of a legacy guy. But Crane also likes pitchers. So maybe that's me talking out of both sides of my mouth.
But if they're going to retain Bregman, that means they're going to go 4 years?
I mean, they'll play the market. Hopefully not. Hopefully it's three tops.
And then the question becomes, would he go 4 years? Because I think he's chasing more years than that.
Yeah, I don't know if he gets that, though. Especially with a balky elbow.
He also might get it from a really bad team.
Yeah, I mean, the Major League Baseball is wisened up, though. Like, you don't see like crazy, stupid deals like you used to. I realized that something's happening in the playoff chase in Major League Baseball this morning, and I actually saw it from a Mariner guy. Seattle was talking about a team they were chasing, and it wasn't the Astros. I was like, what? What's going on here? Did you know the Astros currently have a better record than the third wild card?
I did not.
I had no idea until this morning. I had no idea. The current third wild card in Major League Baseball is the Minnesota Twins. They're 76-68. Astros are 77-66. Like, we hope that doesn't – it's a game and a half. We hope that doesn't come into play, obviously, but it's a little bit of a safety net.
No, that's a pad that I wasn't aware of, because I'm sitting there thinking, as much as I thought the Mariners were in the rearview mirror and gone, and that the Astros' next goal was to chase down the number two seed and get a bye – I didn't, and I thought, God forbid that when I heard them mention that the other night, Ravitch mentioned that they still have that series with the Mariners. I'm like, good Lord, don't let them swoon to the point where that series matters and they could get bounced. I guess with the swoon, it would make that probably out of the realm of possibilities. Mm-hmm. But for right now, that is a good safety net.
Sure. Like, hopefully that doesn't factor in. But if Seattle went 19-0 in the remainder of their games, or I guess it'd be 20-0, because they've played one game less than the Astros. They played one more game than the Astros. So they have 18 left. If they went 18-0, like, you're screwed. But the fact that you have the lead on Minnesota, you got a little bit of insurance.
Right.
Little bit of insurance. You still have a greater lead on Seattle than Minnesota, obviously, but you have the insurance that if Seattle just gets, you know, scorching hot, that you can still make the playoffs via another, you know, avenue. That you want to.
No, but you just have to leave every possible option open for you to end up getting there. We know how talented this roster is. I think that they can play with anybody once they get in. You just have to get in. And I was completely writing off that third wild card. I was like, well, in a couple weeks, I was writing it off because they were scorching and that they looked like they were going to run away with the division. But I think that that's something that at least we can monitor when we scoreboard watch, the fact that, hey, watch Minnesota too, because at worst case scenario, you still want to be able to get in even if you don't win the division.
Yeah, you got a little bit of a backup plan there. And I didn't realize that until I saw a Seattle fan saying, oh, they're right on the heels of the Twins. It's like, oh, they're not on the heels of the Astros. They're the heels of the Twins. Okay, that's good for the Astros.
Yeah.
2920, I think if they keep Bagwell, both Kikuchi and Bregman are signed next year, Bagwell's going to be around. Now, how much control he has hopefully is gone. Hopefully they've empowered Dana Brown, who I think has done a good job. I think Dana Brown's a little loose-lipped, but I think Dana Brown, as the general manager of the Astros, has done a good job.
Not that we'll ever find out, but it seemed like right around the trade deadline that there might have been a come to Jesus internally to where they allowed him to do his job a little bit more. But for whatever the reasons and whatever the case, when you look at the fact that he had successful drafts, he knows talent. And look, even what he did, he found Ben Gamble. Everybody was like, who? Why? What are you doing? Ben Gamble's actually turned out. But I think overall, we know he knows talent. Mm-hmm. I just think that there was a shift in the internal organization to actually let him do his job.
I'm hoping the Abreu DFA was or outright release. I hope that was the line of demarcation. This is Dana Brown's team now.
That or the Montero move, because in unison with Abreu, it looked like two of the three moves that Team Crane made weren't very good.
9913, more suitors for pitching. That's true. But I think Bregman will get more AAV than Kikuchi, even though there are more suitors for pitching. Wouldn't Melton be ready for 25? I think Melton has a chance to be on the team next year. I view him more as a corner outfielder, though. I don't view him as a center fielder. I think he could be your opening day starting left fielder next year.
I think he's a better version of what people were enamored with Joey Loperfido. I think that he could be a better version of a corner outfielder for this team.
I think so. Yeah, I think he can start in left field next year. Jordan's your DH. 9198, Crane will seriously go after Bregman because of the history with the team, and he's white. Are you talking about Crane being white or Bregman being white?
I think he's trying to make it a race issue, and Bregman's white.
Because Crane has given contracts, big contracts, to Jose Altuve and Jordan Alvarez and Christian Javier.
And Jose Abreu?
Jose Abreu.
And Montero.
Josh Hader's pretty white, though.
He is, but Josh, I mean, if you want to just kind of do ratio it out, I mean, he's done a lot of people of color.
Hader used to be pretty racist, too.
Yeah, he sure did back in the day.
I shouldn't laugh at that.
He scrubbed those tweets when he was, what, 17?
Yeah. I mean, Crane's given big money to non-white guys. That's
he
a
said
bad
they were
text.
Rap lyrics, by the way.
That's a bad text, 9198. All right, 713-780-3776. Cash it or trash it. What are you cashing? What are you trashing with the bees? That's next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Mike Hawley, U of H class of 1990, go Cougs, has been protecting the interest of businesses for nearly 25 years. HRP provides comprehensive human capital management services, including HR compliance, benefits administration, and payroll. HRP will also work with you to customize a plan for whatever you need. There's nothing cookie cutter about HRP. You need a little help, a lot of help, anything in between. HRP will create a plan for what you and your business needs. Also, their customer service, second to none. You'll never talk to a stranger on the other side of the line. You'll be calling someone that's familiar with you, familiar with your company. I can speak to that customer service. In fact, we got re-enrollment with the insurance coming up. HR&P makes it so easy for us. We're so lucky to have a company that uses HR&P, and you need to use HR&P too. Let HR&P take on the demands of human resources. Eliminate your HR burden so you can get back to growing your business. Give them a call at 281-880-6525. Let HR&P customize a plan for you, 281-880-6525, or check them out at hrp.net. It's hrp.net.
ESPN 97.5.
Prepare for overreaction on my mark.
It's that time of the week where overreactions are welcome.
They say Muhammad Ali was the greatest of all time, but he never fought Cassius Clay. What was he afraid of? Boom! Hot take!
It's Cash 'em.
That is so good, but that's exactly right.
Or Trash 'em.
This is your hot take.
Seems like an overreaction.
With a killer bee.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion.
All right. What are we cashing? What are we trashing? 713-780-ESPN. What is your cash? What is your trash? Blankers, what you got?
I hinted at this, and we talked about it a little bit yesterday, but I'm going to take it a step further. Deion Sanders is in his last year coaching at Colorado, and this is the last opportunity for Deion Sanders to coach at a big-time Division I program.
Oh, I'll trash it.
Trash.
I don't think
this is
final.
You make that face, Brian, because I took yours?
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
I don't think it's his final year at Colorado.
I disagree with that part. I think he'll get another job, but I do think it's his last year at Colorado.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
I don't. I think he stays there.
I think it's his last year, and Joel, tell me or not if you agree with my reasoning for it. My reasoning was, like, I don't think what we've seen from him, how much, like, the self-promotion is a part of this, that he's going to be willing to go through the losses and the scrutiny when his kids and Travis Hunter are gone. And once the kids and his two sons, Shiloh and Shadur, are gone and Travis Hunter are gone, he's not going to want to sign up. He's not going to want to deal with this, and he's going to move on.
I think it's
go
it's
where
on,
though.
I think it's on both sides.
Doesn't matter.
That's the thing. I don't think he's going to get another job.
But you say he's going to coach again.
I said he could. I don't think he'll do it immediately. I think he'll take. He might go back to NFL Network. There's a thousand places he could go.
He's already capitalized so much personally with all the endorsement deals he's gotten out of this too. But I think it's twofold, Brian. I think you're right. One of the things I was thinking about is he's into this personally because of the fact that Hunter's like a son and because his two sons are there. They're all going to be gone at the end of the year. I don't think he's going to be able to recruit and get the kind of kids. And I don't think he's going to put the effort to getting more than just like the real meaningful big-time players. He's not going to get the offensive linemen. And because if you're a college program and you look at he's dunking his offensive line under the bus, he's basically calling out the fact that he didn't do a good enough job recruiting the rest of the team. He's telling the band, now he's denying it, but telling the band not to play the fight songs. He's telling media people not to, you know, not he's banning them from asking questions. There's just too much of a control freak attitude and all the other things outside of just the football, and the football isn't what it was a year ago.
They've had where they were though, and the attention that's on Colorado now is astronomical. $29.5 million deal for 5 years, so like that's gonna be tough to get out of. Like, do they want to pay off Deion to go away and then hire another coach? And they're also saying that the money that Deion has brought in is like, the estimate's like $280 million.
For the university?
Like, yeah.
Yeah,
like
with the Colorado's attention. Firing him. I think he's resigning. That was going to be my take.
I'm trying. I don't think Deion's going. I don't think he's going anywhere. I'll trash it.
Trash.
Cash or trash? Joe Mixon is the most talented running back the Texans have ever had.
Such a ridiculous statement.
Trash.
Yeah, trash it all
trash.
The way. I mean, you
trash.
Especially if you're on the flagship, you're going to forget about Arian Foster.
Yeah, this wasn't my cash or trash.
No,
this
it wasn't.
Was the Baytown baddie.
This sounds like a baddie take.
Yep. I had friends send me the Baytown baddie. They posted on their socials. Joe Mixon's the most talented running back to ever put on a Texans uniform. The Baytown baddie. Every
trash.
Comment on this, Mixon is nice, but the most talented, gifted, that's Arian Foster. Nah, Arian Foster 100%. It's one game, guys, but don't disrespect Arian Foster. I respect your football opinion, but you're wrong here. LOL, Arian Foster's the best. The Baytown baddie doesn't know ball. He's wrong. No, sir. Overreaction Monday. Exactly why I don't listen to the show. Hopefully you listen to us. Yeah, so just nonstop that. Like, Arian Foster
I
fans
this was gonna get saved
came
for
out.
Thursday.
Came out.
Well, you can have dual purpose.
Yeah, we might hear this again on Thursday. Yeah, it's an all-time take.
Yeah.
It's not as bad as some of his baseball takes, but it's not good.
Are we doing the bracket again this year?
Now, he might be the second most talented running back the Texans
have
ever had.
Yeah, no, I think there's an argument there.
Like, he might be on the short list.
Well,
might be top two, top three.
Let's see the full body of work.
He said talented, though. So talented doesn't mean production, to be fair.
Okay.
I see where he's coming from, though.
They had a Heisman Trophy on their roster at one point.
What, Ron Dane?
But Mixon was a first round, or no, Mixon was a second rounder. Arian Foster was undrafted free agent, but I think people put way too much stock on where a player was drafted when it comes to talent.
And he was hurt going into this last season at Tennessee, which is part of why he went undrafted.
No, my my real cash and retraction, but that was just too much fun to pass up. The Texans do have Super Bowl potential.
I'm cashing this. I'm going to cash this simply because of the fact that so far what I saw from teams that I thought were going to be a little bit better have not been what I thought that they had the potential to be. But they still could be. But I think the AFC is the Chiefs and everyone else. And the Texans just went up a couple notches in my book to where I think it's them and the Ravens. I'm going to cash it. I think they got a shot.
Yeah, I'm going to cash this as well. I think I was getting ready to trash it, but you used the word potential. I think they have the potential. I wouldn't pick them because the Chiefs are still the Chiefs. Mahomes is still Mahomes. As the texter told us earlier in the show, Stroud isn't on Mahomes' level, that breaking news. So I would still have the Chiefs in the Super Bowl as I did a few days ago when we made our picks. But potential, yeah. I mean, if the offense plays like this, you could say potential because, I mean, maybe someone else does you a solid, knocks the Chiefs out before you even face them. Who knows what happens in the NFL playoffs. So potential, yes, I would agree with that.
Or if there's a way that you stay out of the side of the bracket, if you get Baltimore to play Kansas City, and I think there's a path.
Baltimore scares me, too.
Yeah, Baltimore scares me.
And
Baltimore
they're scares your me kryptonite. Too.
And I hope they both lose. I hope Lamar gets ear hold and Mahomes sprains both of his ankles.
You hoping someone gets ear hold?
Not him.
I can't believe it.
You want to win a Super Bowl or not?
Yeah, I know. You're a dog. You're
Hunting
a dog.
Glaze Branham. I wish AJ
I'm a dog.
Baytown baddie. That would have been fun.
Talk about a guy that didn't just troll. That just was relentless when that was going on. Every day he started the show with that milk commercial.
That's so funny.
A bullfrog had wings that fly, Jeremy.
Brian, what do you got?
Well, I mean, one was Deion welcome. Sanders, but I'll go ahead and make an audible on the fly here. I think J.K. Dobbins is going to be the best free agent pickup in fantasy football this season. We saw this last week, you know, he came off the Achilles injury in week one against the Texans the year before, and he'd always been a pretty explosive back, but there was issues with him getting enough touches. Lamar ran the ball. He wasn't getting the goal line carries because, again, Lamar was running in touchdowns, but he was kind of inconsistent, a little up and down. But now you're in the system of John Harbaugh and Greg Roman, who was also there in Baltimore. You know they're going to run the ball 1,000 times. Not only because that's what they like to do, but because they have virtually no wide receiver talent. Shout out to Quentin Johnson. So I think J.K. Dobbins is going to become the number one back there. We saw the explosive game this last week, and he's going to be the type of guy like we saw James Robinson a few years ago when he took over the job in Jacksonville, where he could be a league-winning type pickup for you in fantasy football.
Don't sleep on Ladd as a good
I said virtually
catcher.
None.
I'm trying to think of who's the competition if it's not him.
Hold on.
From,
first
like
off,
a sleeper.
First off, what soft leagues are you playing in where J.K. Dobbins is a free agent?
What leagues he was undrafted?
I want in your leagues.
No, I mean,
those
on,
leagues
guys.
Are soft.
No. Okay,
J.K. Dobbins is available in zero of my leagues.
Maybe you haven't looked at ADP, but Gus Edwards was going way ahead of J.K. Dobbins.
Sure, but J.K. Dobbins is unavailable in every single one of my leagues.
I'm telling you, I'll look up his availability, but he's available at least 50%
of leagues.
No,
I believe what you're saying. I'm saying your leagues are soft, and I want in them if J.K. Dobbins is available.
I have J.K. Dobbins in my leagues. I'm just saying, for other people who are in these leagues, because there's like 50% where he's still available, I'd pick him up, make him your number one ad.
No, who else would be in the conversation?
Jordan Mason.
Jordan Mason.
The problem there is you don't know how long. I mean, you assume CMC's coming back at some point.
Yeah.
And at that point,
I was
going to
say, the kid last night was a guy that whether anybody had him or not, there's a guy in the short term that could give you some production. But then who's in the competition for like year long? Because I agree with you. I think from a running back perspective, it could be Dobbins. We talked about Likely's
another one.
There's a guy that's going to be a pretty Cinderella
not a,
pick.
Not a running back, though.
Right. So I'll cash it. That's fine.
I'm going to trash it because your leagues are soft and you're not in competitive leagues.
I'm not talking about my leagues. I'm talking about leagues in general.
J.K. Dobbins unavailable in all of my leagues. Jordan Mason's only available in one. How much of the fab budget are you using on J.K. Dobbins and Jordan Mason?
I always believe in going hard in week one because you're getting the benefit of the full season with them. And you see the guys later in the season really not having as much value because kind of teams are established in the pecking order. So I would go 50% of my fab budget.
Okay. It's a should be $50.
Yeah, it is. All of my leagues are $100 fab.
2585, I'm in a very competitive 10-team league. J.K. Dobbins is also available in ours. 10-team makes a little bit more sense than 12-teamers. I hate 10-team leagues. Every team looks like a dream team. 713-780-3776. Pena, what are you cashing? What are you trashing?
Hey, cash it or trash it, the Longhorns will make it to the conference championship, and not only will they make it, but they'll win it. Thank you. Have a great day.
Ooh. Cash.
They're going to win it?
I think so.
Trash. I think Georgia will.
I'm not even going to play it.
You don't want to jinx it?
No, I'm not going to play the trash. I'm not going to allow it.
Texas is good, man. Like, I hate to say it. You know my allegiances.
Yeah.
They're good.
The line, I don't know if you've seen them, but Georgia. The line's actually out on the Georgia-Texas game. I believe it's week 7. It's the week after the Oklahoma game. But Georgia -1 right now.
Where?
In Austin.
Oh, in Austin.
Georgia -1 in Austin.
Boy, ticket prices for that bad boy.
Oh, whew, they're already going to be massive, but.
Now they're going to be more.
King of Twitch is asking, how many fantasy football leagues are you in?
I'm in 5.
Blankers?
2.
I'm in 4 real ones and 195 best balls was my final number. I'm disappointed I didn't.
That
get
was one of the things Sam asked for, you know, the football cards that got put out for us. Sam was asking for intel on you guys. And one of the ones I said for Jeremy, but it was in way too many underdog leagues.
I don't think it's too many. I know think it's not enough.
I actually don't even know if you're joking with 195.
I'm not. No,
I didn't think you.
I'm not joking. That's a legitimate final number. And I wish they had weeks 2 through 17 because I'd be in those this week too. Yeah, Sam, by the way, libeled me with that little football card thing. I'm not happy with her.
Oh yeah,
she libeled me.
How?
She was incorrect on my things that I enjoy.
Yeah,
I think that was part of the purpose of how she did.
No, and that's why I'm going to sue her and ESPN 97.5 for libel.
I was a little unhappy with the low hanging fruit of the Ronald McDonald joke on mine.
Yeah.
To be honest, it was a little Houston, you have a problem ish. Low-hanging fruit.
Yeah. A texter, Bo, cash or trash. Sam Darnold is finally in a good situation in Minnesota.
For 1 year. I think for 1 year he's fine, but I don't think it's going to do anything for teams to be clamoring for Sam Darnold for a long-term deal.
I mean,
after
that's not what the texter's saying, though. I mean, the texter's saying he's finally in a good situation.
He's going to be replaced next year by J.J. McCarthy.
Sure, that's not the texter saying. He's saying this is the best situation he's ever
right
been
now.
In.
Okay, cash it then.
Yeah. I mean, I think O'Connell can coach his tail off. You got Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison. Aaron Jones, I think, still has a little life left, too.
Showed it last week.
And Hawkinson's coming back. Cash.
In November.
Cash. Give me the cash.
I mean, we saw what happened when Mitchell Trubisky got a little bit of a look good for a very short amount of time. It got him another contract, so the same thing could happen with Darnold.
And the last one, 1711. Texans-Eagles Super Bowl.
Trash it.
Trash.
I hope so, but I'm going to trash it.
Did you see the game last night? Even if you just not want to take, you want to take the focus off the Texans. Did you see the game last night and not think San Francisco is a really talented football team?
Yeah, with no CMC, with Brandon Ayuk barely involved.
Exactly.
Hey, he was involved. He should have caught a touchdown pass.
Yeah, Peyton Manning was very upset about that.
He blasted him.
He was very upset about it.
I loved him blasting him.
I didn't hear Peyton Manning, but yeah, the San Ayuk, Francisco, I think, is the cream of the crop.
Ayuk, I think the Chiefs are.
I'm talking about in the NFC.
Gotcha. Ayuk made that diving effort.
Yep.
Didn't catch it.
Yep.
Manning said, get in camp, sign early, you make that catch.
Oh, he ain't Tom Brady in it.
Yeah. Oh, man, I love Manning.
Yeah, he's good. Both of them are actually good. Eli's got that dry sense of humor.
I love Eli.
But Eli likes to get those zingers in.
Well, yeah. Eli set Peyton up for that one. I think he knew Peyton had an itch on that one, and he went ahead and set him up for it.
He's funny. All right, 713-780-ESPN. It's time to get to poor football focus. What did we learn when we break down the film? What are our poor football focus grades for the Houston Texans week 1? 713-780-3776. You ask us to grade some of these Texans too, and we'll do that with poor football focus. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. What is great football focus is this Saturday. The Bayou Bucket returns. TDECU Stadium. You got to get out there. The weather's going to be beautiful. Beautiful. It's the old Houston rivalries. The Houston Cougars take on the Rice Owls. This Saturday, September 14th, 7 p.m., we're going to give away a couple of tickets later on in the program, sometime in the 5 o'clock hour, so make sure you're tuning in. But Rice-Houston at TDECU Stadium on Saturday, celebrating Houston with this hometown rivalry, a night of thrilling plays, hard-hitting action, unforgettable moments, huge rivalry between Houston and Rice. Also, Bayou Bucket Special going on now. Head to UHCougars.com/promo. Enter promo code RICE24 and this Bayou Bucket special, $15 100 level tickets, $10 200 level tickets. So two great offers for you. $15 100 level tickets, $10 200 level tickets. Go to UHCougars.com/promo right now. Enter promo code RICE24 and you're headed to watch the Bayou Bucket, Houston Rice, Saturday night, TDECU Stadium. Come early, be loud, and wear red.
ESPN 97.5. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Did you know there's a new way to listen to our station on the radio? What if we told you it's clearer, stronger, and the best way to listen? That's what they say about me, clearer, stronger, best. If you have an HD radio in your car, you need to check out 97.2 HD2. Start listening on 97.9. You won't have to worry about changing your station ever again. Ever again. Watch the All-22 this morning. Slowick was really stinking good. I thought he was great. The Slowick was fantastic. It was in his bag all game long. Running game was on point. Offense over 400 yards. Slowick was great. Offensive line had moments. If I were to – actually, I don't want to rate the offensive line because it might be a giveaway. They played a little bit of dime in this game a couple of times. I like that look, by the way, because you get Bullock playing free, basically center field. Murray and Ward both on the field, and you kind of move them up in the box a little bit. So that was intriguing. I thought the pass rush was better than you'd think. Mm-hmm. I thought they did a good job of kind of getting around the edges and setting contain, all that stuff. One criticism on Stroud wasn't great on his deep balls. We kind of talked about it yesterday. Underthrew Nico once, underthrew Tank once.
That's the one where he had to lead him to the middle more?
See, that was difficult because if you do that, you bring another defender into play. Mm-hmm. I thought the angle was right, just a little bit more oomph. I didn't agree with the – because one of the color guys said that.
Yep.
I think if you brought it to the middle of the field, that other safety that was playing on the other side – has a chance to pick the pass off. So I thought the angle was fine, just underthrew him a little bit. But that's what I noticed there. So time for our poor football focus. You know, Pro Football Focus, they grade all of these players each and every week. We're going to do that, the Killer Bees. Poor football focus. And if you want us to grade a player, 713-780-3776. Brian, who are we grading first on poor football focus?
Let's grade Danielle Hunter.
Okay.
Okay.
My grade I gave him was a 55, and really? That is now I look. Danielle Hunter was paid here to get sacks. He got zero sacks. He only did half of his job. So I'm giving Danielle Hunter a 55.
I'm going much higher than that. He didn't get sacked, but he did wreak havoc. We talked about.
Oh, you're
yesterday.
Okay with him only doing half his job, Joel?
It's one
I
week.
Want results.
I'm okay
He's
with
paid
it being
for sacks.
1 week, sir. One week. I believe the big picture is going to show the true value. 55 is awfully low. I'm going to go 81.
Okay. I'm going to go 92.3 for Danielle Hunter. I thought he was fantastic. Spin move, put the right tackle in the blender. Now, I didn't sack the guy. He got out in the corner, Anthony Richardson.
Well, he's only doing half his job then, Jeremy.
It was pressure. It led to an errant throw.
Half the job doesn't deserve a full grade, Jeremy.
I thought
Jeremy.
Danielle Hunter was fantastic. Set the edge. He forced Richardson into the pocket the one time. Led to a team sack. Yeah, Danielle Hunter was fantastic. Great. Looks the part, too. Looks the part.
All right, let's grade his running mate on the opposite side, Will Anderson Jr.
For me, again, he didn't get to the quarterback, but he did wreak havoc in the backfield. He was drawing double teams. He was drawing the attention of guards and tackles. I'm going to give him, similarly, an 83.
97.3 for Will Anderson. He was great.
97.5?
No, he was awesome. I'm dead serious. Like, he was he ate up a few blocks. The one sack for Mario Edwards that he had where he banged Anthony Richardson's head against the ground when he lost the helmet, which I love that play. I like football players who are violent and physical. Will Anderson ate up two blocks there. Both the left tackle and the left guard were blocking Anderson. And I don't know if Edwards was on a stunt. I really don't think he was on a stunt. I think that he started to just go for his initial rush, realized it wasn't there, and then kind of curled around Will Anderson, who was eating up two blocks. Yeah, I thought Anderson was really good. Great against the run, too. Great against the run.
Should have gone 97.5.
97.2.
I have to say, Jeremy, before we get to the next player, I think this raspy voice of yours right now is better for football conversation.
Yeah, I sound it sounds like
it makes you sound like football guy.
You know, it makes it sound like I watch film all morning.
Yeah, it makes you sound like football guy
or Demi Moore.
let's flip
Demi
to
Demi Moore. Sounds like this.
Yeah, she's always good. It sounds like she swallowed gravel.
let's actually go to a rookie, someone who was targeted a few times, although it didn't matter because Anthony Richardson couldn't hit anybody deep. But Kamari Lassiter, what do we make of Kamari Lassiter in Week 1? What grade do you give him?
I'm going to give him 77.
Okay.
I saw good things, but I saw some things where I was like, okay. So I'm going to give him kind of better than average, but kind of right around there, 77.
I didn't think he was fantastic. I'm going to give him a 67-4. They didn't challenge him a whole lot. Texans played a lot of zone. I think they were trying to force Anthony Richardson to go deep, be accurate with the deep ball, which he doesn't have a whole lot of success with. Yes, he hit a couple. He got burned on that double move by A.D. Mitchell, which Derek Stingley did once, too. But Lassiter was called for the hold there, or illegal contact.
It was illegal contact,
which led to the penalty. So he had the penalty there. Overall, he was fine, but 67-2, I think is what I said.
Yeah, 67-2.
67-2 for Kamari Lassiter.
All right, let's go over to the offensive side here. We only got a couple minutes. Let's go to the biggest name, C.J. Stroud, Week 1. What grade are we giving him?
Oh, I'm good with C.J. Stroud. I'm going to say low 90s, 92.
87-4.
You're not going to go 92.5, Joel?
I should have. I'm going to go 92.5.
I know.
Right.
You
That's
just criticized Jeremy for not going with the branding.
You're right.
And you failed.
That's, yes.
I'm giving you a 27.1.
Ooh.
I was thinking about doing – thanks. I was thinking about doing – the HD2 version of it as well. But, no, I'd go 92.5.
87.4. I've missed a couple of those deep balls that I mentioned earlier. A little bit errant at times, whether it was communication, whether it was rust. Overall, really good, though. I mean, 400-plus yards. You scored on 6 of your 10 possessions. Should have been 7. You ended the game with the ball. So 8 efficient offensive possessions. Really, really good. The 2 deep balls. Plus, he had the ball picked off twice. Flag erased one of them. The corner guy, the secondary man, couldn't stay in bounds, erased the other one. So 87-4, I think I said.
All right, new addition, Stephon Diggs.
Stephon Diggs, I'm going to go with 89. I think that he was what we needed him to be. I think that he gave you 2 touchdowns. I think that it's going to be a lot. Always is going to be dependent. He got open. A lot of it's going to be dependent on how many catches with the stats that he gets. But I was very impressed by Stephon Diggs Week 1.
66 for me. If you take away the touchdowns, pretty pedestrian game. But he scored twice, so the 2 sixes. 66 for Stephon Diggs.
I like what you did there. All right, let's go to the guy that we most obviously have to go to next, British Brooks.
Really?
What is the grade for Mr. British Brooks?
One play makes his day. 70.
I'm going to go with a 10. 10.0 for the British. He didn't play a single offensive snap.
Right.
He had one big hit, 10.0. Nothing that he did wrong, but you can't get just the one special
teams
play.
You're both wrong. The grade is 55 because that was a linebacker hit, and that's a linebacker number 55 for British Brooks.
Days.
Yeah, these days you can wear 0. But that is a classic old-school linebacker number 55. That's the grade for British Brooks for the smackdown he put on that Colts returner.
NFL got woke with their numbers.
They're
woke. Yes, they're super liberal with their numbers now.
Okay.
They did. Like, they used to be structured. They
I don't
used
know if
to
woke
be
is
regimented.
The right word, but okay.
Yes, they became extremely liberal with their numbers.
Yeah, okay.
They did.
Right. Yeah, liberal and woke.
You got
though,
a kicker that wearing 44. That's stupid.
You gonna leave the studio and go yell at the sky now?
Yeah,
Brandon.
I do not like it. I really don't.
Yeah, the guys, they used to be more particular about when you could change your number too. And then they're letting guys, and they used to have to buy back your jerseys with the old number as part of and however many they had in stock. That now they've thrown it all out the window, and guys are changing their numbers between preseason and regular season.
Yeah, Lassiter did.
So did Bullock.
Yeah,
Tank did it last year.
Yeah,
remember 7-1-3, and then all of a sudden it was 7-3.
Yeah.
It was weird.
Yeah, I mean, I've never been a fan of even in college when you got defensive linemen and linebackers wearing.
I like
digits.
It in college. I don't like it in the NFL.
I don't like it either way.
I'm fine with it.
Okay. Where's Joe Mixon?
Last one. Right, we can do 2 more, I guess.
You want to do 2 more? We're kind of up against
Mixon real quick, and then we'll go with the.
All right, Joe Mixon.
Joe Mixon to me is way more than I expected, so I'm giving him a 90.
99.9. He was everything you could wish for. It was fantastic. So poor football focus, 99.9 for Mixon.
All right, let's do one last one for someone who was often talked about in the offseason. Did he deliver, Kenyon Green?
Oh, Kenyon Green to me was exceptional. Kenyon Green to me was 87.
Yeah, he was great in the run block. Pass block was pretty solid as well. Really impressed. I'll go 83.7.
And I lied one more, Laremy Tunsil.
People are going to look at the penalty. I'm going to look at the overall body of work. I thought he was his normal self. So, I mean, as one of the better left tackles in the league, I'll say 85.
Penalized, did okay in the pass blocking, did okay in the run game. I'll go 42-0 for Laremy Tunsil.
That'll be on Twitter.
All right, what did the Colts game plan tell you about the Texans' weakness? 713-780-ESPN. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, a word from my good friend Doc Linville and the fact that he is the best in the business at PRP treatments and the NeoGraft procedure. If you don't know what that is, but you've been losing your hair, you don't have the hair you once had, maybe you don't have hair at all, and you don't think there's anything you can do about it, you need to have a conversation with Doc Linville and his staff, because Doc Linville and his staff are game changers. They're not going to try and preach to you all the different kind of things that just mask the problem. He's going to solve the problem once and for all. And when he had a consultation with me, he explained to me how the NeoGraft procedure works and the fact that it is getting your own hair where you have it are never going to lose it to where you need it most. Maybe it was like me, my hairline in front. Maybe others have a problem with the bald spot on top in back. Regardless of where it is, he can take care of it, and it's done once and for all. I promise you, I did the procedure. Could not be happier with everything that he did has worked out. I have better coverage area. I have all my hair where I needed it, and I am extremely happy. You can be too, and you can get that consultation free like I did by going to 975hair.com. Off the street, if you just contact him, it's $150 to sit down and get the information. If you listen to us and go to him by going through 975hair.com and make the appointment, you get to ask all the questions, get all the answers, have them explain PRP, which is like fertilizing your lawn. You have hair. It's not as thick as it used to be with the PRP treatments. It can get to where it once was. And if you don't have the hair anymore and you just want to get the answer of how to get your hair back, you do the NeoGraft procedure. Both procedures are phenomenal. Both procedures work. And both procedures can be explained to you by going to 975hair.com and making that appointment. He'll explain everything to you. They'll explain everything to you. You ask questions. You get answers. You decide it all on your own. No commitments. No signing on the dotted line. Money out of pocket. Nothing like that. Just see if you get the information, if you're not intrigued enough to want to do it. I did the procedures. I couldn't be happier with them. They're the best in the business. They're right here in the Med Center. Check them out today. Go to 975hair.com.
ESPN 97.5, presented by Zadok Jewelers.
KFNC 97.9 HD2, Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.